Good morning, everybody. July 10th, 2016, the year of our Lord 2016. I need to let you know up front, this is not a politically correct message. I'll never be able to bring this message on a non-Christian college campus or NPR or WTOP, or you'll never hear these verses on any news organization that has the letter C. Examples, NBC, ABC, MSNBC. Praise God. Anyway, I want to take you back to 1972. I was at Prince George's Community College. I was majoring in music, and I was at my second year there. And my friend Kenny and I, who you met and that came and played drums here, we were in an English class. And I had this idea for this term paper that we had to do, and it was to play the music to the song by Chicago that was released in 1970, and here are the lyrics. I can't, because I feel like the lyrics just fit what's going on in America right now. We had clips, video clips, at the same time while the music's playing, but here we go. Can't stand it no more. People dying, crying for help for so many years, but nobody hears. Better end soon, my friend. Better end soon, my friend. Verse 2, can't take it no more. People hating, hurting their brothers. They don't understand. They can't understand. Better end soon, my friend. Better end soon. They're ruining this world for you and me. And when I hear that, when I see that lyric right there, I think this message is going to answer the questions, who are they? Verse 3 says, can't stand it no more. People cheating, burning each other. They know it ain't right. How can it be right? Better end soon, my friend. Better end soon, my friend. The world seems to be in a mess right now, doesn't it? The message and next week's message came about when I was getting all these Fox News tragic updates of things going on around the world. And I would always ask myself when I see these updates, and I'm sure you do as well, why, Lord? Why are these things happening in America right now? Why are these things happening in the world right now? Then I want to take you 23 years later, 1996. I purchased this book by Tony Evans, and in the first page of the introduction to this book, Tony Evans had this prayer that was prayed by a pastor named Joe Wright. He was the pastor of the Wichita Central Christian Church, in which he prayed as an invocation for the Kansas State Legislature on January 31st, 1996. As I read part of this prayer, and the full prayer is on a half sheet in your listening guide, see if you hear anything that you still think is going on today. Now remember, this is a little over 20 years ago. Here's what he prayed. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium, and we've inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word in the name of moral pluralism, a philosophy, a theory that there is more than one basic substance or principle. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. Father, in the name of choice, we killed our unborn, and then we, in the name of right to life, we've executed the abortionist. Now, you know, I'm going to take a little side note here. I didn't really agree with that because I don't think that's happened lately. I don't think that is really the only part of the prayer I didn't agree with. But he goes on and says, we have neglected to discipline our children, and we called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it taxes. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God. Know our hearts today. Try us and show us any wickedness in us, and then cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Isn't that beautiful? You know, do you ever watch the news and ask the question, why, Lord? Why has all this happened to this great country called America? Why does things seem to be spiraling out of control? While I was on vacation, you know, and I want to thank Joe Lebling for speaking that week. I want to thank Pastor Keith McCullough for speaking that week. But here, while I was on vacation, here is a glimpse of what was going on. Getting news updates. Tuesday, 3:31, breaking news. Turkish official, multiple injuries reported after two explosions rock Istanbul airport. 3:53 that day, up to 40 people injured in blast. 4:02, at least 10 dead. 5:17, at least 28 dead, 60 wounded. 5:50 that day, Trey Gowdy discusses Benghazi report. On Wednesday, that next day, 6:41 p.m., death toll in Istanbul airport climbs to 41 with over 200 injured. Thursday, 5:41, Afghan official says 30 killed in suicide bomb attack on a bus near Kabul. 9:36, active shooter situation reported at Joint Base Andrews outside Washington, D.C., which was later found out it was just a training exercise. 1:55 on Thursday, U.S. military lifts ban on transgender serving openly. 3 o'clock, Israeli girl stabbed in her bedroom was a U.S. citizen. State Department confirms Friday. 2:34, gunman takes hostages inside Bangladesh restaurant. 7:57, at least 2 dead, dozen still held hostage in Bangladesh seas. 10:10, Bangladesh police storm restaurant where dozens of hostages are being held. On Saturday at 4:02, I got an update saying 20 hostages killed in Bangladesh restaurant. Sunday at 11:30, Baghdad bombing death toll rises to 115. Monday at 12:03, body found in Rome's Tiber River confirmed as missing Wisconsin student. 2:45 on Monday, suicide bombing reported near Islam holy site in Saudi Arabia. 5:50, at least 4 dead. Why is all this happening in this great country called America and around the world? Why does our world seem to be spiraling out of control? Thursday night, a police officer shot. I came here today with some answers because as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, I think about those questions with all of this going on. I want you to know that I get my comfort from the Scriptures. I get my hope from the Scriptures. I get peace from the Scriptures. I know I can get answers from the Scriptures. As Christians, we have to understand, first of all, that God is sovereign. Meaning that God has unlimited power, meaning that He has sovereign control over the affairs of nature and history. The Bible declares that God is working out His sovereign plan for redemption for the world and that the conclusion is certain. And you can read about that. I put it in your listening guide. There's some more homework for you. Isaiah 45, 9 through 19 and Romans 8, 18 through 39. So with all this going on today, I see and hear the Apostle Paul saying this, and I'm using the ESV version today, in Romans 1, 16 and 17. You see, and this was written in AD 57, so I'm taking you way back. Paul, he's in Corinth, and he's on a third missionary journey, and he writes this to the Romans in verse 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to Greek. For it in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So here in these two verses, Paul speaks of the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus coming, his life, his saving death and resurrection. Through declaring Jesus' word and work saves anyone, everyone who believes, no matter who you are or what you have done. So what happens if you don't live by faith? What happens to you if you choose to trust in something else or someone else? In these next 15 verses, we'll start to see the why in all these horrible things that are occurring right now in this generation. The bottom line, the reason, or you could say the main reason why all these things are happening is, and it starts in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll take it till the end of the chapter today. In verse 18, he says, the subtitle, God's Wrath on Unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So when you see all this spiraling down, it really starts with the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men suppressing the truth. You can call this a dilemma, a quandary, a predicament, a problem that the world is facing, and I really call it a truth problem. Suppressing means holding back, to repress, to stifle, to restrain. Don't you see that happening in society today? Transgression gives rise to divine wrath. Transgression means wrongdoing, misbehavior, disobedience, lapse of indiscretion against the truth. When Jesus was being questioned by Pilate in John 18, 37 and 38 says this, then Pilate asked him, said to him, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone is of the truth, listens to my voice. And I say that, and I think about it, there's so many voices being spoken to you. You know, I look over here at the teenagers, you know, through the media, through social media, on news broadcasts, in newspapers, in magazines. There's so many voices out there. But Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And there are people still saying that today. What is truth? After he had said this, Jesus went back outside of the Jews and told him, well, Pilate went back outside of the Jews and told him, I find no guilt in him. The rest of your lives, you're going to have to answer that question that Pilate asked, what is truth? Where are you going to find it? How are you going to use it? Are you going to live by God's word in everything you say and do or not? Paul laid it out in Titus to this way. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Think about that. Defiled meaning tainted, dishonored, tarnished, corrupted, or ruined. When people are in the wrong, you'll always hear justifications, you know, reasons, explanation, rationalizations, and excuses of why they did, of what they did is all right. Not ever thinking, what does God's word say about this? And you know what? We really don't have any excuses. Look at verses 19 and 20 of Romans 1. For what can be made known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his internal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Tony Evans said one time, every day that you wake up, nature is preaching a sermon. And I hear that and I think to myself, what was he preaching when all these tragedies were going on around the world and in this great country we called America? In the coming verses, we will see examples of these wrongdoings. I want to show you four steps of what I would like to call the next step down. The first step down is wrong thinking, foolish hearts. Darken and we become fools. Verses 21 and 23, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. It's when we don't honor him as God, it's when we don't give thanks to him, we become futile in our thinking. And when I say the word futile, it means useless, pointless, fruitless, unsuccessful, vain, ineffective, and wasted. They exchanged the glory of immortal God of images resembling mortal man's, birds, animals, and creeping things. And when I read those two verses in Romans 1, 22 and 23, it takes me back to when we had our last secret church here, simulcast, when David Platt taught for 6 hours with the theme, A Global Gospel in the World of Religions. And that night, the first religion that David Platt talked about was animism. Animism is a belief that personal spiritual beings and impersonal spiritual forces have power over human affairs, and that humans consequently must discover what beings and forces are impacted them in order to determine future action and frequently to manipulate their power. I never heard of animism before. Animists believe that there is a supreme being, but that being is far removed from creation, too abstract to be known. They believe in a spiritual realm that material and physical universe are connected, so everything has a spiritual explanation, nature and weather. And you hear people talking about climate change all the time. Because they're exchanging the truth of God, they're claiming to be wise, and they're exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, animals, and creeping things, Romans 1:23 says. So, animists, they believe the world consists of personal spiritual beings and impersonal spiritual forces. That's so contrary to the Word of God. Personal spiritual beings may possess power over, the animist beliefs, natural objects, events, you know, trees, water, animals, storms, disasters. Examples being human spirits or ancestral spirits, unborn spirits, animal spirits, earth spirits, the sun, moon, and the sky, universal spirit, angels, demon, ghosts. Think about it. Impersonal spiritual forces may infuse objects, woods, actions, rituals with power like magic and witchcraft, evil eye, taboo. I mean, this is crazy. I heard locally of an elementary school teacher having your kids go out and hug trees and then write a poem about it. That's animism. So the first step down is wrong thinking and foolish hearts becoming darkened and becoming fools. The next step down, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, exchanging the truth for a lie. The next two verses in Romans 1, verses 24 and 25 says this, Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed for it. It says, Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Please understand that. They exchanged the truth of God about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Beautiful exclamation point. Amen. So they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Notice the little c and the capital C. Who or what are you worshiping? Here is where the non-politically correctness comes in. The next step down, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. The next two verses in Romans 1. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural reactions with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. C.S. Lewis said this in 1945 now. We have lost invaluable faculty of being shocked. A faculty which has hitherto, meaning up till now, almost distinguished the man or woman from the beast or the child. Think about that. The last step down, God gave them up to a debased mind. The last three verses in Romans chapter 1 says this, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malicious. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. We practice sin, we deserve to die, and we give approval to others who do the same ungodly things. Listen to this last verse. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. And look at this last statement. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. The ESV commentary says this. Behind the good news of the gospel lies the tough news that all people are implicated in acts and attitudes that God has promised to punish unless His means of grace are embraced. The gospel, with all this I've said today, with all the spiraling down, with all the next step down and the next step down, the gospel is the antidote for all of this. For through trust in Christ comes the obedience of faith, believing as God requires. Romans 1:5 says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all nations. Romans 16:26-27 says, but has now been disclosed and through prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. There's another great explanation point. Amen. Our lives grow in the richness of knowing and being known by Christ. I started with a song by Chicago called Better End Soon. I want to end with a Bob Dylan song. And here are the lyrics. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like the gamble. You might like the dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. The last verse I want to share with you. You may be a state trooper. You may be a young Turk. You may be the head of some big TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country, under another name. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for your words, Lord, even though these are harsh words, but they ring so true today, Lord, as we see the spiraling effect of the things of God just be put aside today, Lord, not thought about, not lived out, Father. Father, we want to be a church that knows you, that wants to know you, that has a desire to seek you and love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, we want to be a church that shines your light outside these walls as well as inside, Father, where we take the gospel, where like Peter tells us to sanctify the Lord God always in our heart, and be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect. And Father, I see the things going on around the world, and we have the answer. It's you. So, Father, we acknowledge you today as Lord and Savior. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Father, I pray that you knock on the door of their heart, that they realize if they are involved in these spiraling down things, that they're suppressing the truth, that not being thankful to God, if they're allowing the world to dictate to them how to live, Father. Father, I pray that they would acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray, like we all have had to do, that they would confess their sins and repent of their sins and ask you to be the Lord and Savior of their life. Father, thank you for this opportunity here to share your truth. We love you today, Father. And we want to be abounding in your love and mercy and grace as we talk to, as we live out in this world that really Paul wrote to the Philippian church, a crooked and perverse generation, where you have called us today to shine like bright stars in the universe as we hold fast to your word, Father. And your word is truth, Father. And we need to sanctify each other by your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.